thing is Travis.
The dog collar is me, and this is Start Kyle Horton. We're leaving that one in, buddy. Oh, and look, we're here.
They call that a cold open in the biz.
We're here to leash some beasts and unleash takes. There you go. That's the best I got, guys. Let's finish this fucking tournament. How about that?
I mean, I think people listen to the Scottcast because, you know, what they want is they just want to be part of this friendship group. They want to believe they're just hanging out with Travis and Kyle. You know, so what better way than just lead in, you know, right in the middle of a sentence about whether or not Travis is wearing a dog collar. So
I thought you were going to give away what we do with dog collars over here.
Exactly. No, that's only for Scottcast Premium subscribers. So
that's right. In the official Discord of the Scottcast.
Check out the Scottcast Patreon page. That's only for our subs. And I mean that by both definitions of the term.
You actually can't be basement, one folks. Without being the other. We don't allow
That's
it.
That's true. Yeah, welcome back, gang. We took an unintended 1 week break last week, but and we're gonna take a break again next week. Just letting y'all know because I'm on vacation. So we're gonna get this tournament wrapped up tonight. Welcome back to round two.
Yeah,
and presumably round three, or I can't do math. How many more rounds will we have to do?
We're in the Elite Eight, and this should when probably I said that, be, we got okay. sued by the NCAA.
Okay, yeah, so we're on the worst.
I'm sorry about your house, Kyle, but that's the price we have to pay.
Yep,
it happens. So we're in the worst Bears tournament, the worst Bears decisions of all time. Not the worst Bears tournament. That was a separate thing. We did that a couple years ago. Go back and listen to those episodes. I know you still do. Travis.
Eventually, we'll have enough of these that we can do a worst tournament.
Look for it. 13 years from now, when we have 16 of these folks, we will go over which one was the worst.
Next year's tournament will just be worst episodes of the Scottcast. And it'll break Travis's heart when everyone votes for that incredible offensive line draft preview we did with Quentin that nobody cared about. So
my favorite episode takes the cake. I know you do it to me.
Okay, well, let's just roll on into this thing without much further ado about Travis's dog collars that he may or not be wearing. Our first matchup of the night, starting off strong with probably the number one overall seed in the tournament at this point, the decision to draft Mitch Trubisky going up against the Cedric Benson versus Thomas Jones and all the basically the Bears mishandling of Thomas Jones, if you want to just put it all in that way. I don't know. Do as much as we all hate Cedric Benson, God rest his soul, as much as, you know, we do a lot of hating on dead men in this tournament, and I feel a little bad about it sometimes because Ced Ben's catching some strays here. Travis really tried to go all in on Gaines Adams once.
Yeah. I went hard on Gaines. Don't say that. Don't say that. I feel very bad.
You
for
did.
Gaines Adams.
It was grim. It was grim stuff.
We were arguing philosophically what's worse, a dude who just dies on you or a dude who doesn't play for you. And shit got real dark real quick, folks.
To be clear, it got dark entirely because you were the went there. Like, you were the only one who was willing to chart those waters.
Of course, well, he was a terrible player. Anyway. He's fucking dead.
He's fucking dead.
Okay. Anyways, do we just save time by advancing Mitch on to the next round? Because I don't think there's any, for me at least, there's no chance in hell. As much as I hated the decision at the time, as much as I had a lot of fun last week breaking down just how bad the sequence of trades was. There's,
no, I mean, I think the strongest thing about right? Cedric Benson would be opportunity cost, and you simply cannot defeat the opportunity cost. Of
right, you're talking Eric Weddle versus Patrick Mahomes, and I love Eric Weddle, but he ain't no Patrick Mahomes, you could say that much.
I'll give you a little something. I'll give you a little something here. I'll
give
shake
it, to me.
It up.
Straight from the dog collar.
I feel like this tournament has to assess decisions based on the time they were made, right? And I feel like at the time,
I smell what you're happening.
The Trubisky decision was not particularly insane. It was not good. You and I did not like it. We called Mitch Trubisky North Carolina Bortles for way too long.
We did.
To like that. That was we were calling him that during the season.
So sad that, again, the original Start Kyle Orton Twitter account got nuked from orbit by Twitter because the tweets I had the day Mitch Trubisky was drafted were, I mean, they were accurate. We'll just say that. And people got so angry at me. Someone was like, "You're not even going to give this a chance." And I was like, "Why would I?
We know this guy.
Why of all the franchises on earth would I extend the benefit of the doubt to the Bears making what is so self-evidently a stupid decision like this?"
However, it has to be said, going into that draft, we said nothing but the Bears really need a quarterback. But all the word out there was they're not taking a quarterback. They were going to take, like, the safety. Maybe
Solomon
they were going to trade back.
It was Solomon Thomas. That was the guy that everybody thought they were going for.
It was like, no way. Bears aren't.
Which would have been a hilariously awful draft pick in its own right. In fact, if they had taken Solomon Thomas, we'd be sitting here saying, they took Solomon Thomas, a fucking defensive tackle who sucked, and Patrick Mahomes was right there.
Right. So taking Mitch Trubisky was kind of like, oh, the Bears traded up and took a quarterback. You and I, for 5 seconds, thought Deshaun Watson, and then they didn't do that. Thank God, in retrospect. But at the time, we were quite butthurt about it. Still, they did technically make the right positional decision. They did need a quarterback at the time. And I will maintain until my death that just because Patrick Mahomes worked out, because he was drafted by maybe the greatest offensive mind in NFL history, does not mean he was a sure thing. He is the definition of a raw prospect coming out. That's why he fell so far. The Bears would have fucked him up so bad that we would not even, at this point, we would not remember his name. We would be like, oh my God, that horrible decision to draft Patrick Mahomes. Do you remember that?
I don't buy that. I reject this logic. I will tell you this. Because I didn't think Patrick Mahomes was that raw coming out of Texas Tech. I thought Texas Tech was Texas Tech. And I would have thought you would be with me on this, Travis, because no one has hated Cliff Kingsbury more than you. And boy, that bit us on the ass this year, didn't it?
It sure did. But here's the deal. The reason I think this way, I've said this before on the podcast a couple years ago, but Draymond Green was once asked a question about himself and Kawhi Leonard. He was asked about how much credit should go to Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich for taking late round draft picks and turning them into superstars. And he paused for a minute and then he said, "You know, it's funny because whenever a later draft pick turns into a superstar, it's the coach who did it. But whenever a number one overall pick busts, it's the player's fault and it's not the coach's fault. And it's funny how that happens." And that has always stuck with me, and I think it's the same thing here. Pat Mahomes works, and people say, well, fuck it, let's forget who he was as a prospect. Let's forget everything about what was said leading up to the draft. This guy was always going to be the GOAT. 100%. Like, this is the dude. And I just don't buy into that. I don't buy that if Trubisky went to Andy Reid, that he wouldn't have looked significantly better, too.
I get where you're going. And you know, both of you know, that nobody believes more than I do that there's no player the Chicago Bears cannot ruin.
Yes.
But Mitch Trubisky was never going to be Patrick Mahomes. And Patrick Mahomes at least had the potential to be Patrick Mahomes. And they traded up to a position where they could have had their pick of the litter, and they still took Mitch, like, no matter how much you want to say, Pat Mahomes might not have been Pat Mahomes in Chicago, which he 100% would have not. He would have been ruined and thrown in the garbage. It was still a terrible decision to take the worst guy instead of that guy, especially when you could have had your guy without giving up a bunch of shit for him. Nobody wanted Mitch Trubisky more than the other two better quarterbacks available in the draft.
Okay, so... Yeah.
But if we compare it to the other situation, there is no world in which the Cedric Benson pick was good. That was a bad positional choice. It was a bad player choice. The whole thing was bad.
I'm going to say
then
what
they traded Thomas Jones, who was a better running back. So we didn't have better options at the time.
I think I get where Travis is going. I'll say it with more eloquence than he did, because, you know, I'm me and he's Travis. So what he's saying is, to quote Donald Rumsfeld, you know, you got your known unknowns and your unknown unknowns. In the quarterback, in this decision with Mitch Trubisky, you could say the process was correct up to a point, in that they selected the wrong guy, but they were still choosing from a whole pile of unknowns. And in the Cedric Benson case, you had a known quantity in Thomas Jones. You didn't evaluate your own player very well. You didn't evaluate your own roster very well. And you used your most valuable asset, the fucking fourth overall pick, I believe it was, to take an unknown player at a position where you already had a quality known player. So just judging the decision separate from the outcome, just if this is truly worst Bears decisions and we're trying to judge the decision at the time it was made, you could argue the Cedric Benson pick was a worse call.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say. Thank
I know,
you.
I know. I
that is, if this were worst outcomes as far as a tournament, I don't think there's any question what wins, right? Like, it has to be Mitch. There's just there's not really any competition.
Right?
Eric said it last time. Like, this is probably the worst draft pick as far as opportunity cost goes in the history of the NFL. Maybe in the history of all four major sports.
It is one of the worst draft decisions ever made by anyone.
That said, I think Travis is understating how bad the process behind taking Mitch was.
That's
because
fair.
You are taking a quarterback in what you, the GM, already know is going to be your head coach's last year. You've already decided you're firing your head coach, and you're still bringing in a quarterback. Because it's almost forgivable that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace would take Justin Fields in their last year, because they were all desperately hoping it wasn't going to be their last year. It's much more unforgivable that Ryan Pace knew all along John Fox was going to, Mitch Trubisky was going to be having a new head coach in his second year, isn't it? All, like, from the beginning, you're setting this kid up knowing he's switching offensive coordinators in year two. You keep your head coach in the dark about it. The dude didn't even know, as they're sitting in the draft room, that they were taking a quarterback, let alone which quarterback. And then you did not turn over every stone in your search for a quarterback at the most important position like you should. They didn't even, as Deshaun Watson said, they never even dined with him. They misled Patrick Mahomes throughout the process. And they actually didn't meet with Mitch very much. They had, you know, the famous dinner where he won them over because he showed up in his stupid ass Dodge Stratus or whatever the fuck it was, Toyota Camry, I don't know. And he made the reservation under the name Mike Ditka or some bullshit. And that wowed them over because he's a blue collar guy. But they said, you know, they hid their interest in him, and they didn't meet with him as much as they could. Maybe if they had met with him as much as they could, they'd really turned over every stone and not been afraid to let the world know that they were looking for a quarterback in the draft. They would have figured out in some of those meetings, like, hey, this kid's actually not so good on the whiteboard. This kid's not so good when it comes to understanding coverages and concepts. And I've lost where I was going there. But anyways, I think it's safe to say the process behind taking Mitch really was fucking terrible. It was fucking terrible.
It absolutely
so it's
was.
Not just as simple as, well, they knew they needed to take a quarter. And plus, what was all that subterfuge for when you still needed to fucking trade up for him?
Yeah.
What was all that stuff? What was that for?
Needed to trade up for him is a strong.
Yeah, and you didn't. You didn't even.
You
need
wanted
to trade up for him. John Lynch still laughed about the fact that, like, absolutely fucking nobody was going to trade ahead of the Bears there, and they still did it anyway. So after you did all of that subterfuge to hide your interest in Mitch Trubisky, and you did all this to hide your interest in Mitch Trubisky, hide the ball at Mitch Trubisky, and then the moment you take Mitch Trubisky, the whole world is like, you wanted that guy?
Yeah.
Immediately, that was the reaction. So I think I get where Travis is going. I get his logic, and yet I still think that's underselling how bad the process. Mitch Trubisky was not good process, bad outcome. It was bad process, disastrous outcome. So
yeah. I mean, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. We're moving this.
Yeah,
Mitch
I respect the effort, but you cannot defeat this decision.
Okay,
with a similar decision.
Yeah. Anyways, okay, so Mitch, unsurprisingly, he's into the final four, so there we go. And our next matchup of the night, And this is the one I think we really can save time on, because Travis will murder us both if this one doesn't advance.
I'll have to talk about it. But...
Oh, you know, we're saving that for the next matchup.
Because I have something about this one that is tied to another one later.
Okay, so the next matchup, we have the decision to hire Mark Trestman over Bruce Arians versus the versus letting Mike Martz trade Greg Olsen. Now, I was just going to advance Trestman without a debate. I think we said our piece on Martz last week. I think I was the one that argued most fervently for advancing the Martz Olsen move. But I was just going to advance it. But it sounds like, Eric, you're not. Did you have something you wanted to say on this?
So okay. I was thinking about these things a lot this past week, and the Martz thing sticks out to me of the ones that are left in terms of being a bad decision, in that I cannot even figure out, you know, like what you hoped was going to happen. Right. Most of the other ones, it's like, yeah, the Bears are dumb as fuck. They did this stupid thing, and that's why it's on this list. But I get, you know, you were stupid to take Mark Trestman over Bruce Arians, but someone somewhere thought, hey, this guy is a secret wizard. You know, he was wrongly exiled to Canada. He knows something no one else knows, and we're going to shock the world with him. Somebody must have thought something like that. Who stood to gain from letting Mike Martz, a coach who was bad and nobody liked, trade a player who was good and everybody loved? Like, I in terms of making bad decisions, this one stands alone. Is like, I don't even know what you were trying to achieve here.
Yeah, I will. I mean, I'll give it extra points just as a swan song as we send it away, because I don't think it even holds a candle to Mark Trestman over Bruce Arians. But we got a third round draft pick, and like, part of it is Martz thought that Olsen wouldn't fit his system because he wasn't certain about his abilities as a pass catcher. So like, everybody in this situation was so fucking wrong. Like, you could not have been more deeply wrong about the player, about his value, about what you should have got for him. And this was during a time where I would often rant to Kyle about how ridiculous the NFL was with trade value with draft picks. I'd be like, people just would get amazing players, like nearly Pro Bowl caliber players for those third round picks, and then get, you know, a bad wide receiver in return in the draft who would flame out in a couple of years. So it was more common for that to happen at the time. This sort of thing wouldn't happen these days. So it's not as bad as it looks back then
about, like, everybody was obsessed with future value, right? Yeah. You would trade away a good player in his prime for what might be a good player 5 years from now. Like, that just happened frequently.
Yep. Right. Yes. And it was, I would go on rants about it often back then. So it is ridiculous. I mean, it continues to be asinine, but it was a lot more common at the time to be like, yeah, this amazing tight end, sure, a third round draft pick. Oh my God, what great value for that guy. But it was a baffling decision to let Martz do that. I mean, there's not really any defending it. The problem is, on the other side of this equation, we have choosing a coach who flamed out of literally every job, and then flamed out of the NFL, and then flamed out of the NCAA, and then got banished to Canada for a couple years. And that's who the Bears hired over the reigning coach of the year and an offensive coordinator who had won a Super Bowl with the Steelers. That was our decision. I feel like that one is worse. I don't know if I have to go into too much detail right now. I guess I want to know how Kyle is feeling about this one, but I think he's in my camp on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm advancing Trestman.
No, I don't expect Martz to win. I just, like, I'm going over all of them, and I do not understand. You know, at the time I thought it was stupid, but I didn't really think, I was like, oh, they just like Mike Martz. But now it's like, they didn't. No one did.
Yeah, I mean, it does look even worse now because the NFL came to their senses a few years ago about trade value. And now this just looks insane. Like, you traded a fringe Hall of Fame tight end who everybody knew was incredible at the time for a third round draft pick, which the Bears were like famously bad in the draft. Like, you knew you weren't getting Greg Olsen back out of this deal. So, yeah, I mean, it's a miserable decision. But, God, you guys know how I feel about Mark Trestman.
Yeah, no, I okay. So that's our first Final Four matchup.
Fight. I don't want to just pass anything.
I think that's great. Kyle, you have to play devil's advocate if we can do another one of these.
Okay, I'll see. Okay, so our next match, so we've got Mitch and Trestman over Arians in the Final Four. I'm kind of sad that that's the Final Four matchup, because I feel like that's the ball game right there, but we'll see. Although, I mean, I'll make a strong pitch for this next one, for sure. Our next matchup, we have another one seed. All four one seeds advanced. That's how good I did seeding them. Keeping Matt Eberflus after the 2023 season versus exiling Ron Rivera, which I believe was the only three seed that made it to this round.
Yeah, I feel like I jumped up on exiling Ron Rivera while we were talking about it. It became a much stronger pick to me during the,
yeah, I mean,
during the conversation.
It's one of the most indefensible decisions, really, because, I mean, it was, you have a guy who had a historic 2 years as defense, right, I mean, he was there for 3 years, but two of those years were historic defenses. They went to the Super Bowl. His players loved him. There was no behind-the-scenes conflict other than that, quite simply, he was not the defensive coordinator that Lovie Smith would have hired if he had had the choice from the beginning, and Lovie wanted him gone. And it clearly was the wrong decision. Every single guy that came after him until they got Rod Marinelli in there was demonstrably worse. They wasted a couple years watching their defense erode after the Super Bowl. It was just petty jealousy. It was a pure power play by Lovie. Not a guy who you would normally expect to have such a thing, but that's all it was. And everyone agreed at the time that's what it was. But yeah,
it is. It's the one personal stain that you can think of for Lovie Smith. Everything else, his players loved him. Everybody in that building loved him. It's what kept him there for as long as he was there as Bears head coach. And then you just have this one decision in time where he desperately wanted people to think this is Lovie Smith's defense. Ron Rivera has nothing to do with it. Like this damn former Bear is just sitting here. People keep talking about how maybe he should be the head coach. I got to get rid of him.
Well, the funny thing was,
like turned it on his head, because after that you were like, oh, is this Lovie's defense? Because it's just getting worse now.
Right. That's like the funny thing is that you said people were asking maybe this guy should be. I don't remember anyone doing that. We all loved Lovie. In fact, he didn't get a lot of guff for this decision at the time because so many people had so much faith in Lovie.
Yeah.
Nobody was trying to say this is Ron Rivera's. It was entire. That's the other thing. It was entirely made up in Lovie's head. The most likely scenario, if he had just let it be, was that Ron Rivera has another. I mean, he was getting head coaching interviews already. If they'd had another good season on defense in 2007, Ron, the problem solves itself for you, Lovie. The guy gets a head coaching job, and you don't have to worry about it anymore. But instead, you did the dumb. You forced him out. Your defense got notably worse. He went to the Chargers. Their defense got notably better. He parlays that into the Panthers head coaching job a little bit later. Like, everyone's left to say, it immediately downgrades Lovie Smith in the eyes of just about everybody. By the time, just 2 years later, you know, when 2009 came along, everyone's angry at Lovie Smith, and that was one of the first things everyone was saying was, yeah, it was Ron Rivera was the only reason they were ever good to begin with.
Yep. So. Yeah, I completely turned around and bit him right in the ass.
But at the same time, we're talking about Matt Eberflus here. So
yeah, maybe this is recency bias, but I just get so, like, there is a primal kind of fear that comes up when you talk about how we kept Eberflus for all of last year.
The risk was so great. That's what it is. Like, I spent the entire season, every single time something bad happened to Caleb Williams, I was like, oh my God, we're going to blow this. It's all because they kept this fucking guy for no reason.
It was a tenuous, like, it was a very tenuous armistice right up until the Hail Mary, because, like, you wanted to see the Bears compete, Vince, like, and we wanted to see Caleb do well, and it was worth tolerating Eberflus while that was happening. And then the minute the Hail Mary happened and the fallout from that happened, it was like, you wanted them to lose every game after that because you were like, no, this fucker needs to go down. it like he has become public enemy number one. But there's a speech that I reference a lot. I think I've had like a running joke with Travis in that there in the movie Gettysburg, there is this part early in the movie where this Union general is bitching about how he knows what's going to happen because it's happened in so many battles so far in the Civil War, where he's talking about how what's going to happen is our army will move cautiously. They'll go too damn slow and Lee will not. He'll get in here and he'll take all of the high ground and he'll be entrenched. And by the time we finally get off our duffs to do something about it, it'll be a bloody charge that's destined to fail, and you know it's going to fail, and from the minute you can see it all happening in front of you, and you have no choice but to literally participate in it and help it fail. And I've said many times, like, that's how it feels to be a Bears fan, and the Eberflus one decision was the most prominent example of that ever, because no one on earth, not a single person who wasn't in fucking Hallis Hall, thought that this was going to end any other way. It was so obvious what had to happen. Yeah. So obvious that it was the same mistake you'd made 2 years before, or 3 years before that.
I don't even think they thought it was going to end differently, though, is the thing. They just didn't want to spend money.
Him. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's just like, you know how this is going to go, and you know you're going to spend most of this season trying to tell yourself the opposite of what every part of you actually believes, that this can maybe work out, that maybe it's not as bad and as stupid as it was, and it ends up being even more stupid than you thought. And there's nothing you can do about it. You just watch it, a train wreck that you watch happen in slow motion.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't even gotten into the whole thing, but maybe we should save it for the next round. I feel like this one moves on, but there are still pieces to this horrible decision that make me feel even worse as Bears fan. Like going back to that moment is still just like, oh, like, we're going to get the most can't-miss quarterback prospect probably of the last decade, and we're going to fuck him up instantly. In the same way we did the last guy I thought was great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's got to move on. We love you, Ron Rivera, but that one's more of a, like, I almost, that feels worse because it puts a stain on how I feel about Lovie Smith. It doesn't feel so bad for, like, the actual outcome.
Yeah, I mean, nothing really that bad. Nothing that wouldn't have happened otherwise, I think, happened because of it. It was a dumb, bad thing to do. I don't know that the Bears would have been appreciably better or worse over the next 10 years.
Defense wasn't going to save us that next season.
And I mean, in a short amount of time, they got back to having great, sometimes, you know, historically great defenses, so it's not like, oh, they lost their mojo and never got it back.
Right.
Yeah. All right, Eberflus is on. Staying on as he tends to do.
Eberflus just never goes away. Does
he's Eberflus always there hanging around. Out to me.
Our last matchup of this round, the last one seed, the Rick Meyer trade, always a guest on almost all of our tournaments in some way or another. And the Jerry Angelo hiring timeline. Now, I'll just say this. I think whoever wins this matchup is a sacrificial lamb for the next round anyways. And I would have thought, being the guy who constantly... I would have thought there was no possible way that I could consider anything that I wouldn't advance the Rick Meyer trade in this specific matchup. Because, again, it's so... Like I said last time, it's like if a team traded the 11th overall pick for Zach Wilson right now. Like, they had that much information and that much tape, and they still made the decision. But at the same time, the more I think about the Angelo thing, and the more, in some ways, it's kind of the original sin of the last 25 years of Bears football and how they never get the timelines synced.
Yep.
The coach is never hired in time to hire. The GM's never hired in time to hire his own coach, or he's inheriting the last guy's coach, the coach is inheriting the last guy's QB, and then suddenly the QB is inheriting a new GM, and blah, 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 blah. It's just never ending. And it sort of starts with Angelo, because after the 2000 season, if they'd acted promptly, they could have cleaned house everywhere. Cade McNown was done. Everyone knew that. He wasn't sticking around for a third year. You could have gotten rid of Dick Geron. could have cleaned the house of everything. You could have hired Jerry Angelo. You could have let him hire whatever head coach he wanted. You could have drafted a quarterback that year if you wanted to. You know, Drew Brees was available in that draft, Midwestern kid. Could have done, not saying that that's what they would have done. They probably wouldn't have, but you could have.
They would have drafted a hurt offensive lineman, and you would have loved it.
Yeah, they could have synced everything, and then maybe that would have meant that the next, when that regime failed, you clean house and you sync everything again. You keep syncing it until you get it right. But they didn't. It starts with Angelo. He can't fire Dick Duron when he would have, and he 100% would have, and then all of a sudden Dick Duron gets lucky 1 year and you have to keep him too long. Your whole project gets delayed by 3 years, and then suddenly you're hiring Lovie Smith, and then Lovie Smith manages to outlive Jerry Angelo, so then Phil Emery's firing Jerry or Lovie Smith after a year, and it's just it never ending. And the more I think about that, and the more that, like, that's also why the Eberflus thing is so fucking annoying. And last week we talked about the pace of negative, all these timelines that never get synced, and this alignment that never happens. The more I think about that, the more it sticks in my craw as a, again, going back to what Travis said, or what Travis was trying to say about the Cedric Benson thing, like, if you're going purely by outcome, the Rick Meyer trade is as bad as it gets. You traded a first-round pick for a guy who didn't throw a single touchdown. But that was the 90s. They really didn't evaluate quarterbacks the way we do now. There was just a lot of, I mean, you had so many, half the quarterbacks starting the league, I feel like, were undrafted because
I cannot believe that you are making excuses for Rick Meyer right now.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
You don't gotta go this far, brother.
You don't have to debase yourself. I think Eric and I both agree. Like, I've been thinking the same thing you have ever since last week, where I'm like, is this the beginning of the modern Bears?
Right.
Like, is this awful, wrongheaded choice to hire the GM after the draft? Did this start everything?
It's going to fall to me here to play devil's advocate, and I'm glad you said that because I think it's very fitting. I came out of the last episode thinking Angelo actually could go all the way. That might be the strongest candidate. But the more I've thought about it, it scores very highly on worst, and it scores incredibly highly on Bears.
Right.
I don't think it scores that highly on decision, because I don't think anybody wanted to do this. This is not, like, they didn't sit down and say, all right, we want to do this, and then this, and then this, and then we will hire Jerry Angelo after we have fucked up all these other things. They made a huge mistake that birthed the modern Bears, which is, there's no better way for them to have been born. But it's not like this is the way that they wanted to do it.
I mean, that's completely fair. This is the result of incompetence. It wasn't a decision.
And from a purely decision standpoint, like, they sat down and they said, we want a quarterback. And they evaluated a person on whom there was tons of information available. And then they gave up the most valuable asset you have on your team in a first-round draft pick for a guy who literally could not have been less valuable. I could have gone out there and thrown zero touchdowns and six interceptions. Fucking Cannon could have gone out there and just fired the ball downfield and probably produced more touchdowns and fewer interceptions than Rick Meyer. So in terms of bad decisions, it's hard to say making a series of baffling mistakes qualifies as a decision compared to incorrectly analyzing readily available information.
Yeah, like you said, it's more Bears than the Rick Meyer decision. Like, the Rick Meyer decision is incredibly stupid, but I don't know that the Bears are the only organization that could make a decision that stupid, especially in the 90s. Like, there was a lot of really poorly run, like, you think NFL teams are dumb now. Back then, you had the 90s Bengals as a franchise. Like, people were just, there were owners still, that last generation of, like, geriatric owners who had originally, like, been owner and GM and president in the, like, 1950s and still thought they could do that. And so you'd get some really, really stupid decisions in the 90s. I mean, Seattle, for example, drafted Rick Meyer only 2 years after drafting Dan McGuire at quarterback in the first round, which that's kind of unheard of nowadays, too. And they only really drafted Dan McGuire because he was 6'7". They were just like, when they were asked about him, they're like, yeah, you know, the tape's not, and he didn't didn't really go to a big school or anything, but like, God, look at how big he is. You know, that was just the kind of shit that happened back then. So it's a worse decision. The Rick Meyer decision is really bad. It was a bad process, bad decision, bad value. The outcome was horrible. But the Jerry Angelo thing is so Bears. It could only happen with the exact structure that the Bears have and with the owners that the Bears have who don't know shit. There's a lot of owners who don't know shit about football, but the McCaskies at least are, I guess, cognizant of what they don't know about football. And so they offshore the decision to hire a GM to a search firm that takes forever and settles on a guy too late, blah, blah, blah. So it is more Bears. But in terms of worst and decisions, I don't know that it qualifies. So I don't know. We're talking in circles here, I guess. I don't know where I'm at.
I know Eric is kind of swaying me here only because I've been arguing like Eric this whole time. I'm like, this is about the decision. It's about how bad the decision was. And the decision to hire Jerry Angelo was good. He was a good GM. He's the best GM in our lifetime, at least. It was just I don't even know what decision was bad here. Was it to hire a search firm? That's not really to hire it late.
That happens all the time.
Like, was that bad? I don't know. Because I really, this whole week, I've been like Kyle. I've been thinking like, oh man, like, is that what started the Bears being shit? And have they never recovered? Like, have they just decided we should stagger every GM and head coach and quarterback ever since just because they fucked this up? But yeah, I mean, technically, Eric is right. The Rick Meyer decision is indefensible. I mean, I just got done talking about how trading a third round pick for Greg Olsen actually isn't as bad as it looks now, because back in 2011, that wasn't that uncommon. Well, like, let's go back even further. You weren't giving up first round picks for shitty quarterbacks. But in this case, the Bears did.
And I mean, it's not even just that he was a shitty quarterback. It's that he was essentially an anti-quarterback.
He was a proven shitty quarterback. Everybody knew. It's not like he was a rookie. He had played multiple years in the NFL, and he was god-awful. Like, everybody knew. It would be like giving up a first-round pick right now for Zach Wilson.
Wow, that's a great point. I wish somebody else had made that already.
That's sharp analysis, Travis.
Thank you. Nobody else has ever said that. Nobody else will consider saying that.
Yeah, I mean, for the record, at the time of the trade, this is what Rick Meyer had done in 51 starts as a quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. In 51 starts, he completed 53.4% of his passes, which was just 165 yards passing per game. He had 41 touchdowns, 56 interceptions, and a total adjusted net yards per attempt of just 4.02 yards. So, I mean, he was absolutely fucking horrendous.
Holy shit.
Over 4 years. So.
For some reason, in my head, I was thinking 2, maybe 3.
No. 4 years. Okay.
Yeah, no, this is proven. This is known.
Okay, it's Rick Meyer. There's no way. this is. So
and I guess
bad.
just because I haven't. I mean, I haven't said them. I've said them out loud on this podcast before, but in this particular tournament, I don't know if I've read them again. This was again his stat line as a Chicago Bear: three starts for one first round pick. 53 of 103, which is 51.5% of his passes completed for 420 yards, 0 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 4.1 yards per pass attempt, 60 yards passing per game, 37.7 passer rating. He took 16 sacks, which came out to a sack percentage of 13.45%. His total adjusted net yards per attempt was 0.51. Literally half a yard per pass attempt. The guy is...
Come on.
So Rick is 6'3". So he could, in fact, have gained more yards on average if at every snap he just ran to the line of scrimmage and fell forward. Than attempting to pass the ball. So yeah, Rick Meyer's got to advance. I'm glad Eric snapped me out of it here. But you know,
I don't know what the bracket that Angelo is best suited for is because it is such a clusterfuck.
And we should just do a tournament that's just the most bears bearsings of bears.
Yeah, but when, like, you know, it's
when bears both bears.
Like,
and
hold up. We've been really building towards the most bears shit of our lifetime tournament. I feel like for years now.
Yeah.
Well, we should just have a tournament of tournaments. Like the Jay Cutler D'Angelo Hall game should square off against Rex Grossman. Should square off against whoever wins this. Like it. Yeah.
I'm writing that down somewhere.
The most.
Yeah, I want to give Angelo
who's
hired
bears
after
is it anyway?
Draft its laurels because I really came out of the last episode being like, actually, I think that's the worst. I think I would vote for that to win based on how I felt coming out of last week's episode. And then I was just kind of like, yeah, but they didn't really decide to do that. They just did a perfectly normal thing in such a bad way that it ruined the franchise for 20 years, which is a very Bears thing to do.
It might be the worst thing to happen to the Bears.
Yes,
in our
but it
lifetime.
Was not anybody's choice. It wasn't the outcome anybody, you know, I guess obviously it was not the outcome anybody wanted, but it's not like anybody was like, yes, we should keep Dick Geron, we should let someone else do the draft, and then we should hire Jerry Angelo. That will result in a good team.
And then Dick Geron should magically have the weirdest 13-3 season of all time. And
yeah.
Everything will get fucked up for eternity.
All right.
But Rick Meyer is moving on.
So I hate it, but we're looking at 4-1 seeds here.
We are. Yeah, I know. I don't know if that's a sign that I made a good tournament bracket or a bad one when you have all 4-1 seeds advanced. But, I mean, there are four really terrible decisions. So we're into the final four. Travis, are you rested? Are you hydrated? Are you ready to go?
Hell yeah.
Because this could be the ball game right here. I think it probably is. But maybe. I don't know. Eberflus has got his thing to say, too. So
I don't know.
Mitch
Rick
Trubisky
Meyer is pretty bad.
Drafting Mitch Trubisky versus hiring Mark Trestman over Bruce Arians. Travis, the floor is yours.
Excellent. All right. So,
a
folks.
A moment like this.
If you don't know, we used to run a website called Start Kyle Orton. blogspot.com.
Oh God, do you have the transcript pulled up? Do you have it?
I've got it. I have got the article. And as Kyle mentioned last time, we used to talk to each other in an email chain, and then either Kyle or I or Eric would clean it up, and we'd put some images in there, and then we would post it, and we called it For the Record. And in 2013...
A proto-Scodcast.
Proto-Scodcast.
Yeah, this is actually where the Scodcast came from, is like one day this, we were like, what if we just recorded these instead?
Like the zine version of the podcast.
This is pre-original Scodcast. This is before that. I think the podcast would come about...
I
think the podcast started the first training camp of the Trestman era.
Yes. Yes, so it was soon after. Anyway... I did not like this. Let's say it like that. I was immediately completely disgusted with this hire. I think it needs to be said, first of all, this is not a what if. This is not a what if Bruce Arians wanted to be the head coach of the Chicago Bears. Bruce Arians wanted to be the head coach of the Bears, and he thought he was going to be. He thought he had basically accepted the job. Everything was a formality. Like, I'm the head coach of the Bears. He had talked to people in his life.
Wasn't he, like, looking at moving to Chicago?
Yes.
Like, he was in the process of finding a home.
He was so certain that he was going to be the Bears head coach. You're right. He was in the Kobe Bryant process of shopping for homes in Chicago when all of a sudden he wasn't going to Chicago. And this is because... Before we get into what I thought about it at the time, this is because he failed a mock press conference with the McCaskies. I want you to think of Bruce Arians, people. I want you to imagine him in your head, and I want you to somehow reconcile that image with anybody in Chicago disliking him. Like, this is a man who would become known for his awesome press conferences, for people loving him and his personality coming through in those pressers, for people loving that hat that he wore. Like that is one of the most enduring things we remember about Bruce Arians. He won a Super Bowl, and like still one of the things I think most of when I think of Bruce Arians is how cool he was in press conferences and how Chicago he seemed in those press conferences. And that is the reason we did not hire him. Now, who did we hire instead? We hired Mark fucking Trestman. So, all right, here, I'm just going to pull a couple of things from what I sent to you guys on this day. Here's one. A popular argument for Arians is the quarterbacks he worked with. He worked with Ben Roethlisberger. What happened between 07 and 11 for the Steelers? Well, they went to the Super Bowl in 2008 and went back in 2010. In his last season, they were 12-4 and lost in the divisional round. Roethlisberger's numbers spiked considerably in 2007, which probably isn't a coincidence. Roethlisberger continues to be a very good quarterback. What happened with Mark Trestman's quarterbacks? Well, aside from Steve Young, who had already won a Super Bowl when Trestman was there, when Trestman got there, he was the quarterback coach and the offensive coordinator for Jake Plummer, only in his worst two seasons, his second and third. He was the quarterback coach and offensive coordinator for the Raiders with Rich Gannon, and Gannon's numbers stayed the same until his final year, his third, where Oakland went 4-12 and he was let go. He then became the offensive coordinator for North Carolina State in the NCAA, did not get an NFL job. What did NC State do in the 2 years he was there? 7-5 in year one, 3-9 in the second year. In total, in those 2 years, he scored more than 24 points one time against Eastern Kentucky. He was then exiled to Canada and only reemerged now as head coach of the Chicago Bears. Also, I just want to point out that the very next thing I've said is something that Kyle has said, as we have said many times after this. The big thing today is that Emery chose Trestman because he wanted a disciplinarian for Jay, someone who would hold Jay accountable. Is Phil Emery out of his goddamned mind? that's me at the time. I also want to point out, Kyle,
that is the funniest possible reasoning at the time, because the idea that Mark Trestman, who is known as the biggest doormat coach in the history of the NFL at this point, because, I mean, he fucking let Brandon Marshall skip practice to film a TV show every week. Martellus Bennett body slammed their rookie first round pick and nobody did anything. And versus Bruce Arians, who has coached multiple Hall of Fame quarterbacks and is remembered as being basically one of the toughest but best coaches they've all had.
Also, yep. Just the idea that you think you need a disciplinarian to get the most out of Jay Cutler shows how badly you misunderstand Jay Cutler. Like, yeah, yelling Cutler is not going to make him better at football.
That is like if I was like, we need a goddamn disciplinarian in this house for my cat. Like, what? The cat is not going to give a fuck, man. The only thing you could do is make the cat piss on your shit even more. Like, that's what's going to happen. And in fact,
exactly what happened.
Yeah. My point here is, A, why would Jay listen to the CFL guy? How does he command respect? I just outlined his whole career, and it's unimpressive. So Jay was being coached by Lovie Smith, who made as many Super Bowls as head coach as Trestman has anywhere, and who has been an NFL head coach for 9 more years than Mark Trestman. But sure, Jay will probably listen to him. Kyle, this is for every time you brought up Jason White. Here's Kyle's take in response to me. Personally, I'm okay with this. It's less about the quarterbacks he's worked for and more about the fact that he's successfully adapted his offense pretty much everywhere he's gone. Kill me, Kyle. Kill me. How dare you work against me at this time in 2013. But yeah, essentially, I hated this right from the start. The facts around this are insane. Bruce Arians was coach of the year after taking over for Chuck Pagano, who was diagnosed with cancer and had to miss that entire season. Bruce Arians came in and made the Colts, a young team, significantly better. Massive improvements to Andrew Luck. Like, just, they went 11-5 after their coach got cancer and had to disappear. Like, it couldn't have been any more obvious that Bruce Arians was the guy. This is a guy who, as offensive coordinator with the Steelers, had done exactly what you could have wanted with Jay Cutler. His offense was perfect with Jay. He would have melded completely with Jay Cutler. And he himself knew that. He was excited to work with Jay. This is the job he wanted. Like, we're gonna maybe talk about this against the Eberflus if it does get past Mitch Trubisky here. But it's the same sort of thing there. We had a coach at the time who wanted to coach the Bears. Do you know how fucking rare that is? We do not get coaches who want to come to Chicago. And Bruce Arians might have been the only fucking human being on the planet excited to work with our quarterback. A quarterback who we just refused to get rid of. Like, we made the decision to stick with Jay for as long as we did, and yet we refused to get the one guy on the planet who is both qualified to be a head coach and wanted to be a head coach for the Bears and wanted to coach that quarterback. And instead we got a guy who Jay ended up hating maybe more than anyone on the fucking planet.
Oh, he really fucking hated Mike Martz. I don't know.
Now, Jay has come out and said that was actually not necessarily true, and he liked fucking around with Mike Martz. So I don't know. But Mike Martz might be up there. But I don't think it's disputable that Jay and Mark did not get along. Jay ends up basically getting fucking benched in spirit for Josh McCown. Josh McCown comes in and shows him up. This whole fucking mess could have been so easily averted. We had the coach of the year. We had a guy who would go on to win a Super Bowl and have many successful years as a head coach. And he wanted to be our head coach. And we chose a guy who literally got run out of the fucking NFL and then run out of the NCAA. He didn't go to Canada because he had some ideas about Canadian football. He went there because he had nowhere else to go. And that's the guy we picked. So anyway,
I'm a little
make your point for Mitch Trubisky.
By the way, this is actually the second time that Travis has read the transcript of that entire For the Record out loud. That's actually the first thing he did when he had therapy. the therapist was like, "Hi," and then Travis didn't even make an introduction. He just started reading from that For the Record. It was like, "This is why I am the way I am.
This is just look at this. Look at this shit. Can you believe what the Bears do?
Look at the things I've done." God, that's withering. And honestly, I feel like I owe it to you just because you said all of that 12 years ago. And I tried. I don't even know that I come off at any point in that For the Record saying that you're necessarily wrong, but I just come around and think maybe it's not as bad because, you know,
I mean, that's what being a Bears fan has been like.
It's funny because I feel like Travis and I alternate in cycles between being this is the dumbest decision they've ever made. I'm officially fucking done with them versus the maybe it's not as bad and stupid as it looks guy.
We do
because I feel like I was this is it. This is officially as dumb and bad as it looks last year with the Eberflus and Travis.
I was doing my best.
Maybe it's not quite as bad as we think. Maybe they can idiot proof him with a Shane Waldron who turned out to be an even bigger idiot. But Travis had his moment here with Trestman over Arians. He really did.
Kyle flies in with a, I have a good line here I wanted to throw out, but oh, Kyle God. Flies in with, this was definitely the bold hire. I don't think it's stupid, but it will definitely either make Emery a genius or an all-time Bears GOAT. And I came across with, you saying the Trestman hire was bold and Bruce Arians is safe is like saying Stephon Marbury is a high-volume shooter and Kobe Bryant is the safe bet. So I got a Kobe Bryant thing in there, like right around the time when I really needed to.
Yeah, I mean, Travis had to reference a Kobe Bryant in every blog post between 2006 and 2013.
As far as things that have scarred me, this and the, actually, the I'm sorry, we can't trade Luol Deng to get Kobe Bryant. That was the other one. That got me at that time.
But and I guess this is where I will say, in favor of Trestman over Arians versus Mitch.
Jesus.
This is where I actually will revisit Travis's logic a little bit ago, because I do think the draft is always more of a crapshoot than just about any other part of professional football. You are taking a gamble on all of these guys are unknowns to a great extent. And while I did go in about how bad the process was that led to them settling on Mitch, we've seen bad process for quarterbacks work before because, again, quarterbacks are a crapshoot. I thought the Buffalo Bills taking Josh Allen was a terrible decision. He's the second-best quarterback in pro football. We have seen, allegedly, I've heard that like the Chargers didn't even Justin Herbert wasn't even necessarily the Chargers' first choice. They kind of got stuck with him, and he ended up being fantastic. Like we've seen people get lucky on quarterbacks. We've seen these things work out. Mike McCarthy famously chose not to draft Aaron Rodgers in San Francisco as the offensive coordinator, and then got to ride Aaron Rodgers' coattails. So bad processes still led to good outcomes because quarterbacks make their own luck in some ways. But in Trestman versus Arians, you had a guy who was as much of a known quantity as a head coaching candidate could be at that point. You have a guy with a successful decade-long history as an offensive coordinator, as a quarterback developer, and was the reigning NFL coach of the year. How many times do you get to literally interview the reigning NFL coach of the year?
I could not find another instance where the reigning coach of the year was just available.
Versus a guy from fucking Canada. And so, yeah, I think that's where I think I would actually, if we're just talking about the decision, and I think that's sort of where we've gotten tonight, is focusing on the decision, the information at hand when the decision was made, the logic behind it, how much of it was just dumb luck that it ended up the way it did versus just bad process, bad everything. I think the Trestman decision's worse. I do.
Well, and this is hard because these two are very similar, where it's a situation where the Chicago Bears have all the opportunity in the world, right? They get to do what they want in this situation. There are no caveats, there are no maybes. They get to choose. And both of them are an instance of the Bears making the objectively worst decision possible, because there were other candidates in this race as well. It wasn't just we're going to hire Mark Trestman or Bruce Arians. Mark Trestman was the worst choice.
Ken Whisenhunt was also one of the options, wasn't he? And Eric McCoy, who I believe went on to coach the Chargers for a couple years, was an option as well.
So anyway, it's not like they just sat down and said, well, we got Mark Trestman, we got Bruce Arians, who do we want? Like, they narrowed their way down to this fucking weirdo from Canada who managed to turn Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall against each other, a feat once thought impossible by mortal man.
I just want to throw something out there, just to strengthen my argument that Pat Mahomes probably fails as a Bear. I think the logic is fairly simple. It's John Fox who drafts him. He would have sucked that first year. I don't think anybody was getting out of there. What was the name of that offensive coordinator? It was like the worst fucking name in the history. Dowell Logans. Yes, that useless turd. That was an awful offensive coordinator. After that, he got Matt Nagy, right? Luckily, Matt Nagy has been Pat Mahomes' offensive coordinator for the last 2 years. Hey, how you doing, Pat? Oh, have you been averaging one full yard per attempt less than over any other season over the rest of your career? Are you last year? Was that the worst season in your professional career?
Now, I hate 6.8 yards per attempt. In defense of Matt Nagy, who is Pat Mahomes throwing to now?
Is that honestly what we're worrying about? No, because are we comparing that to what the Bears would have had?
I'm going to tell you. You don't have to strengthen your argument here. I'm getting. To a conclusion here, which is that I had forgotten the reason they chose not to hire Bruce Arians was a mock press conference.
There's no bad Bears decision. Stupidest
fucking reason.
To be fair,
I can possibly,
right.
Like, who cares? He could be the worst press conference coach in the NFL, whatever the hell that means.
To be fair, Bruce Arians himself came out and said that was not why it was. He said, and it's in some ways it's even funnier. He said they asked him who he would bring in as defensive coordinator, and he said, I'd bring in Todd Bowles, who obviously has gone on to do pretty well as both a head coach now following his Bruce Arians successor and as Bruce Arians defensive coordinator before that. Said I would bring in Todd Bowles, and they were like, well, we want you to keep Rod Marinelli. And he was like, okay, and he talked to Rod Marinelli, and Rod Marinelli was like, I ain't fucking staying no matter what. So Bruce Arians was like, well, he doesn't even want to stay here. And they're like, no, he'll stay here, we want you to keep him. And he's like, nah, I'm just gonna bring in Todd because he wants to be my defensive coordinator. I'm not gonna try to convince Rod Marinelli to stay when he doesn't even want to be here anymore. And that's why they decided to go with Trestman, because Trestman was like, I'll keep Rod Marinelli, sure, because he was saying whatever he fucking could to get the job. And then Rod Marinelli immediately was like, no, I'm not sticking around for this clown.
Yeah.
So they hired, supposedly, according to Arians, at least, they hired Trestman over Arians because Trestman or Arians wouldn't make them a false promise to keep Rod Marinelli as defensive coordinator that Mark Trestman was willing to make and then obviously didn't follow through on. So I don't know if that's better or worse than the mock press conference.
It's probably both, because both are so fucking Bears.
Yeah, that's
so
very
Bears.
Fucking dumb.
Are we actually all in agreement on? I feel like nobody is fighting for this.
I was ready to come around on the press conference thing alone. I was like, listen, these two situations are very similar.
I think
drafting a boring, safe white guy is unfortunately a trap that not only the Chicago Bears would fall into.
Well, like we said, the focus tonight has really been on the decision. Like, the emphasis truly on the decision. And I think in terms of, like, the Mitch Trubisky thing is a bad decision, but it gets worse with outcome weighed heavily in. The Trestman, but again, the
to
draft
be clear,
inherently...
it's not like the Trestman one doesn't get worse with the outcome.
No, it does.
Yeah.
But the draft is inherently
fell apart.
The draft is inherently a crapshoot. It's inherently you are choosing between a bunch of unknowns. And again, Arians was as known a quantity as you could get in a coaching candidate, and they still fucking biffed it. So I think in terms of just judging the decision. Yeah, I think it's Trestman over Arians.
I just want to point out, before we leave this article behind forever and I bury it, our final thoughts. Eric, I think he will succeed. Kyle, I think it's a good hire. Me, I think he'll be a bad coach, but his record will not immediately indicate it. 11-5 next year with an early playoff exit, then progressively worse each year until he's fired.
So we were all too optimistic, even you.
Yes, even I somehow thought he would
be
better than he
was
in year one.
I think you would have been right if the defense had not crumbled into dust on the
hands
of like 10 ACL tears.
I talk about how, here's what I'm shocked about. In this article, I talk about how the defense is like 1 year away from being too old to be effective anymore. And I'm like, I don't remember thinking that.
It turns out they were 0 years away from being effective anymore.
Yeah.
I'm literally talking about like the Bears are about to hit, like all of their starters on defense are about to hit old age. This defense is going to break apart. And I'm like, holy fuck, what was I on at the time? Like, what was I smoking to predict this shit? Because I don't remember thinking that. I remember thinking the defense was still going to be great. So,
well, and I mean,
I was on one.
As you know, I have brought up many times, not really in defense of Mark Trestman, but over how much I enjoyed myself in that 1 year that he was not a complete disaster.
Yeah.
They were putting up 28, 29 points a game. Like, the defense didn't even need to be good for them to hang. If they had just not been 11 dead men, you would have been right on the money.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm happy that the Trestman is moving on, because it scarred me personally.
Yeah. No. Okay. So yeah, that's. I mean, like I said, I think that was probably the ball game right there, but we'll see. So, Trestman over Arians into the final, and our last Final Four matchup: Eberflus versus Rick Meyer. Eric, let's give you the floor for this one, because Travis just got to do his pitch.
Okay, so the Rick Meyer trade, terrible decision, you know, in terms of you sat down, you looked at all the information available, you made probably the worst possible decision you could have made. Like, you could have gotten a backup quarterback from somewhere, you could have grabbed a person off the street, you would have ended up getting as much value and not having to give up your first round draft pick. But, you know, maybe this is, I don't know what the opposite of recency bias is, but who the fuck cares? They gave up their first round draft pick 30 years ago for a guy who was bad and left immediately. I don't care. You know, it's a very bad decision. It did not scar me the way that you have continued to hate Rick Meyer for, you know, seriously, goddamn near 30 years. Keeping Matt Eberflus is something that not only did they do recently at great risk to their fancy new generationally talented draft pick, they did it right after doing the exact same thing and seeing, you know, just how bad the results could be less than 5 years ago. I mean, they literally made the same mistake with the very next guy. So yeah. It's not even they like, were... oh, they thought it might work out. Like, they just saw it doesn't fucking work.
Right.
You touched literally the hot stove, burned your hand, and didn't even take the time to, like, wrap it up and get all healed and forget that this stove stays on sometimes. You saw it with your flesh still sizzling on there, and you were like, I'm just gonna slap it down. Oh, no. Oh, it hurts so bad.
Yeah. The very next time you had the opportunity to make, to not repeat the mistake you made before, they doubled down on it. Truly incredible.
It is an equally bad decision that cost them far much, and obviously is much more recent. I don't know that it cost them that much. It could have cost them.
Right. I guess. More. I mean, we'll have to see. Like,
If Caleb Williams is broken, this is clear cut the worst decision they have ever made.
Like, if Ben Johnson, you know, if the Ben Johnson thing disappoints and he has to come out and say, you know, he's like, yeah, Caleb wasn't ready. He was too far behind. We never got on track like that. They're going to have to own forever that keeping Matt Eberflus is probably the main reason why that would be the case. So we're all hoping
this has the potential to go on to be, I would take this over anything.
If we were having
this in a heartbeat.
If we were having this exact tournament next offseason, depending on how this year goes, especially how this year goes for Caleb Williams, I feel like there's a good chance that we wouldn't even be having a debate. Because if this season goes poorly, that's not even a debate. We're advancing Eberflus all the way through. Or, you know, it would be no harm, no foul to an extent, and we would be a lot less mad about it. So it'd be interesting to see how we revisit that. But just sitting here right now with this still a question, it's for me, it is hard to take Meyer over this just because of the fact that it's the same mistake repeated somehow makes that the worst decision in that, like, you did it again and everyone was screaming at you not to, and everyone was screaming at you that you did it, you did this last time, don't do it again and they were just like, I'm gonna do it.
And it was pointed out, by the way, in a Spotify comment, thanks guys for leaving those, keep leaving them, I love them, that Poles, you know, was told, like, hey, did you know that, like, you just fucking did this? Like, the Bears as an organization just did this? And his comments were like, no, we didn't. No, you're an idiot. That, like, this is not anything like that, like, remotely. Completely... I mean, it made it so much worse because it was like, oh, is our GM a fucking idiot too? Like, I kind of like this guy, but is he stupid? Is this just my life now? But I wanted to say one thing. Eric jogged my memory, something about the Rick Myra trade that had been rattling around back there. You said literally anybody would have been better than Rick Myra, and yet we gave up a first round pick for him. How about a guy who the Bears had sitting on their bench for 4 seasons? From 1993 to 1997, and who they would bring back because Rick Myer sucked, and then would go on to be a totally cromulent starter in a 13-3 season for the Bears. How about Shane Matthews, who could have been had for nothing because he was just the backup quarterback for the Panthers at the time, and who the Bears should have known a lot more about and should have known they could have gotten competent quarterbacking out of at the time and could have been had for nothing. I think probably $5 would have got Shane Matthews from the Panthers back to the Bears. And I know that because the Bears just brought him back. They just fucking brought him back in 1999. So it really is. It's such a baffling fucking trade. Like, you just didn't have to do that. But yes, obviously I am. I brought up the Cubs Game 7 World Series game last episode. I am scarred in the exact same way by us keeping Matt Eberflus. It's just, maybe it ends up okay. It doesn't matter. I don't care if Ben Johnson wins a Super Bowl with Caleb Williams. I will look back at this last season.
I'd like
and
that
I will.
To happen.
Yeah, well, yeah,
I would care about
as
that.
It relates to this decision.
Yeah,
I don't
be
care.
Clear, I don't.
This
I don't
was
think,
awful.
I don't think the end result here is at best, you know, oh, well, it was fine. I think it becomes exiling Ron Rivera, where it was like, it was baffling, it was stupid, I hate it, but at least nothing bad happened because of it.
Somehow, yeah.
But it has the potential to be the worst thing they have ever done, and it depends entirely on what happens to Caleb Williams in the next 2 years.
So does that mean it can't win right now? It sounds like it advances.
That's where I'm struggling. Is we saw what happened with Tressman over Arians. We have the full, you know, we have the postmortem on here's how bad the decision was. Here's why they made it. Here's what it cost them. We don't know what it cost to keep Matt Eberflus yet. We can't know.
I wanted to say one more thing about the Matt Eberflus deal. Obviously, in my opinion, which has not been shaken, I think the Tressman hire was worse. Just the decision at that moment was insane, like batshit insane, for whatever reason was given by the Bears. But one thing we haven't talked about yet about not firing Matt Eberflus is it's not just the Ben Johnson thing. Ben Johnson was available, it seemed. We didn't know if we'd be able to hire him or not, but he was available, but he wasn't the only guy. Jim Harbaugh was also available at the time. That was also a head coach that Bears fans had wanted for maybe more than a decade at that point. And it really did. Another facet of this is it felt like not only were we being kept from Ben Johnson, we're being disqualified from Jim Harbaugh because we hired Kevin Warren, who wasn't exactly picking up a ton of fans at this point, right? Like, Kyle, you and I talked a lot about how, like, if you're here, what are you here to do if not to tell them to shut up and fire Matt Eberflus? Like, what are you here to do if not hire the best coach, even if you have personal issues with Jim Harbaugh, even if the two of you don't like each other? You know, and Harbaugh went out, and for all the questions we had about him at the time, he looked pretty goddamn good last year with the Chargers. Justin Herbert finally had that season, Kyle. We're going to talk about that in a couple weeks with our quarterback rankings. He finally had that season that I've been wanting him to have, and he did it with Greg fucking Roman. Like, Jim Harbaugh really is the shit. So it wasn't just Ben Johnson. It was a market where if the Bears moved quickly, got rid of Matt Eberflus, and just ate some fucking crow, they could have had either of those dudes. It's like the best head coach market we've had in years, and they passed on it knowing that they were going to draft Caleb Williams and potentially fuck him up just like they did Justin Fields. So it's not just Ben Johnson. Like, we had options. We had fallback plans, and we made the worst possible decision. I'll send that to you, Kyle. Obviously, I still think fucking Tressman should win.
Now you're kind of convincing me.
Like, I'm throwing that out because both of these are awful. There's a chance in 2 years I look back at this and I say, oh, now that the Bears have fucking collapsed and Ben Johnson has been run out of town and Caleb Williams looks like garbage, actually, I would like to rewrite this decision.
I think, well, that's what I mean, because all night long we have been talking about the decision and the information at hand at the time they made the decision, and then it almost was like a cop-out to rule against Eberflus because we don't officially know what the ramifications are going to be. If we're just talking pure process...
I think they're comparable. That's the problem.
They are comparable. Here's the thing. I would say... both were self-evidently stupid at the time to a good degree, and at least Travis can agree that they were self-evidently stupid. You and I were naive fucking children.
I do want to go on the record and say that anyone who read Start Kyle and Orton at the time knew that you should not be asking me who they should hire as a head coach ever. I don't know fucking anything about
it. It's funny because in so many ways, the Tressman decision is what has shaped the Bears fan that I have truly become, where I no longer... like, it was why I wasn't here making excuses for them keeping Eberflus last year. This is as fucking stupid and cheap and selfish as it's the same fucking mistake over again. So just going by the information I had at the time, I guess because I made it at the time, you could maybe make an optimist argument for Tressman being, you know, like, maybe the quirky Canadian offense.
Right. My assumption was that he has shown them something that they think is going to surprise the
Eberflus, NFL. Eberflus was statistically like the worst head coach in Bears history through two seasons. There was no reason to keep him. He wasn't even the right side of the ball. You were keeping a milquetoast defensive coordinator to develop a quarterback who truly needed development.
And I want to say, I think it makes it worse that we got Ben Johnson a year later. I think it makes the decision at the time worse because now we know that Ben Johnson would have
come.
We know we had Ben Johnson in the bag.
It probably
for
would have
sure.
been more exciting last year when he didn't have to think, oh god, I really hope that Matt Eberflus didn't fuck this kid up.
Yeah, I mean, we would have had different expectations going into last season, I think. And yeah, obviously Caleb, at the very least, he wouldn't have been pushed as hard as he was to succeed early.
That said, it's still taking a fucking CFL guy over the reigning coach of the year. Like, I guess...
For the most Bears reasons possible.
Right, I mean, the Eberflus decision might be the stupidest.
I mean, I would say that also is the most Bears reason possible, though. Literally just, we don't want to spend money, so we're going to jeopardize the future of our organization.
One is the
yet
most...
again.
Going to be cowardly here and say one is the Trestman thing's probably more Bears in that it's just like weird, really weird bad football reasoning. The Eberflus one is just pure McCaskey, and those things are sometimes synonymous but not always. God, this is tough.
I propose a cop out, gentlemen. I propose that we crown Trestman now with the caveat that if the darkest timeline occurs, if we come out of the next 2 to 3 seasons and we remember Ben Johnson with shame and we remember Caleb Williams as an all-time bust, that we just pretend like we said it was keeping Matt Eberflus for another year. And we just come back and I will edit this episode and I will delete this and I will put, well, obviously it's Matt Eberflus.
Yeah. We'll make a special edition. We'll add some tauntauns.
Am I the tiebreaker here? Travis, are you still firmly Trestman over Arians?
I wouldn't say it's firm. I think they're comparable, but I would say it's Trestman over Arians because I think the decision in that moment was so obvious. And the Bears chose so wrong. Whereas compared to keeping Matt Eberflus for one more year at the time, I don't, you know, it's all so fucking awful. I'm just barely in the Trestman camp. Just barely, guys.
I'm not upset if
it doesn't win.
No, I was going to say, I'm willing to vote Trestman and say I'm firm on that even, you know, unless truly the worst possible thing happens, in which case it would win another tournament in the future. But.
True.
The decision
but,
to take
but we
Marsh
probably won't
Trestman,
be here to record
Mark
it
Trestman.
Because if we really go down the darkest timeline, I'm not fucking doing this podcast for 5 more years.
Yeah, that's a good point. This podcast may not exist if
it
that happens.
If they had kept Matt because they thought he had something, it would be an equally stupid decision. But I think keeping him just because you're cheap, very Bears. Something that I'm sure another team might consider doing. Picking this Canadian weirdo that nobody likes and, you know, it turning out to be for reasons that had nothing to do with his ability to coach a football team. And when the one thing that you said, you know, oh, he's going to come and do this, he could not have failed more spectacularly. I think that someone would have to have been shot dead in the locker room for him to have done a worse job of controlling the team. I think I would still vote for that to be a worse decision than keeping Matt Eberflus just because you're cheap asses when everybody knows that you are and that's what you do, and you know it's no more than I expect.
That's yeah, I guess. Kyle, do you? It sounds like it's already
decided. But I do think in the end I would have voted Trestman.
But this is the closest it can get.
I think of all the finales that we've had in all the tournaments, this is the closest one for me.
I am not
the only one that I'm not sure I'm going to. I'm not sure I'm going to walk away. No,
I'm not going to do it. Like, we could sit here all night.
Yeah,
and I could convince myself every 5 minutes to vote
I would
the other
like.
Way.
I sure would like the listeners to comment, to weigh in, to let us know how they feel. Did we get it? I think it's got to be Trestman, but that's where I'm still at. But I definitely don't feel good about it, obviously, but I don't feel confident in it as I did last year. I felt very good when we finally settled on the Angelo Hall game. I felt Rex Grossman had it in the bag, so this is tough for me.
That's
which,
true.
Which shows we did it right. We should feel like this after a hard-fought battle at the end.
Now, to be fair, last year, going into the tournament, the D'Angelo Hall game was almost an afterthought.
I think
all three of us agreed.
We're surprised that that's the direction that went.
But in this one, I like Tressman was the favorite for me, obviously. But this is close, man. I mean, honestly, some of these things, even the Rick Meyer trade, is so god awful. Just so mystifyingly bad as a decision. It's a little too rote, I think, like a stupid trade for a young quote unquote quarterback to qualify here. But like,
well, and he was bad and then he went away. You know, there's just the ramifications are very small. There weren't a lot of factors.
All right. The champion is the worst Bears decision of our lifetime, hiring Mark Tressman when Bruce Arians was shopping for homes in Chicago, ready to be our head coach. Just barely nudging out, retaining Matt Eberflus for one extra year.
By a nose.
Maybe fucking up Caleb Williams and almost missing out on Ben Johnson. By a nose hair.
By a nose hair.
All right, it sounds like Kyle and I will not be back next week. Kyle will be on vacation. He's going to the moon, and he's going to talk about how the trade for Rick Meyer was just like if right now we traded for Zach Wilson. He's going to tell it to the Martians. So good luck with that, Kyle. In 2 weeks, we'll be back. I don't know if that will be the quarterback rankings episode. It might be. I know coming up we've got to bring in your boy Nick, and we've got to talk about this NFC North division. Kyle, it's getting weirdly close to NFL time. We've got July, and then we're getting into the preseason.
Yeah.
So, Eric, it's been lovely speaking with you.
I'll see you all next year.
We will see you in 365 days, sooner.
As ever, I will say, as I do at the end of every tournament, if the Bears are fun and I'm actually watching Bears games start to finish, I would gladly return for an episode.
World that would be.
If they suck ass God. And I end up deciding I would rather do literally anything else with my Sunday afternoon than something that I know is going to make me feel bad. I'll see you for the tournament in next week.
All right, see ya.
All right, later, gang.
Now you know I'm leaving Chicago, and people I sure do hate to go. Now you know I'm leaving.